words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Today's gospel certainly opens with a chaotic scene. Jesus and the disciples, who are surrounded by people who are pushing and shoving to get closer to him. Questions, pleas, even some rude comments are shouted at Jesus. Perhaps Peter and James managed to maneuver him away from the throng and to a quiet spot. They have just started to eat some bread and cheese when others find them. "Rabbi, I must talk to you about my son." "Teacher, can I speak with you? It will just take a moment." Or a sarcastic, "Are you really the Messiah? Prove it. Do something magical." Jesus sighs and puts aside his lunch and walks towards the growing crowd. It really is no wonder that his family is worried about him. It all started with Jesus speaking in the local synagogue. He had a few fishermen who traveled with him. It seemed all right then, manageable, under control. But this, now he has this ragtag group of men, he calls them disciples, who are with him all the time. And everywhere he goes, hordes of people follow him, touching him, pushing, yelling, thrusting sick people at him. And some of the temple leaders have started to notice. They send out spies to hear what he is saying, where they accuse him of being Satan. It is totally out of hand. Something bad is going to happen one of these days. It is intriguing to put ourselves into this scene. Who would we be? Are we the skeptics looking for an opportunity to trip up Jesus? Perhaps we are members of his family, noticing that Jesus looks tired and has lost some weight. We want to bring him home, get him to forget all of this preaching stuff and take care of himself, lead a normal life. Or maybe we are the ones who are longing to have his full attention. We wish everyone would just go away so we can sit and talk with Jesus. Because we have a strong desire to tell him what is so important to us, about the people we love and cherish and worry about. The teenagers leaving home for the first time and going off to college. The younger children spending the summer at camp. Our older relatives and friends who are in declining health. The dear friend who really must stop drinking. These are the things we want to share with Jesus. However, it is not only the worrisome things that we want to talk over. We want to talk about our gratitude for sunshine, green grass, and all the lovely flowers about us. Our pride, joy, and hope for the new graduates. The return to health of those who are ill. And the gift of years and wisdom for those growing older. Of course, it really isn't necessary to only imagine such a one-to-one conversation with Jesus. I think the summer gives us an opportunity to actually spend some quality time with Jesus, in essence, to have a spiritual summer. And I don't mean praying on the golf course or tennis courts. Time seems to slow down a bit during the summer. Walking on the sand at Sandy Beach or Sandy Neck, sailing home at sunset, gazing at the nighttime summer sky, all these sights, sounds, and smells invite us to reflect on our relationship with Jesus, our place in the world, our hopes and dreams, and the things that puzzle us. Perhaps now there is the time and energy to more fully contemplate the issues of life that concern us, or to be humbled and grateful for the blessings in our lives. Quiet time on the beach, in a sailboat, or on the porch is such a wonderful chance to have a real conversation with Jesus. Periodically, putting aside our summer reading, we can use this time to deepen our relationship with Jesus, to move beyond the superficial and to get to things that really matter. Formal written prayers are meaningful and helpful, but there is an intimacy and an honesty that springs from our prayers of the Spirit. Now can also be a good time to ask questions. How can I best help a friend who is dealing with serious issues in her life? How can I be a more patient and compassionate parent, sibling, spouse, friend, and adult child? How does being a follower of Christ inform my daily life? How do I grow as a Christian? Now, we all have regrets, things done and left undone, things said and not said. Now might be a good time to make some amends to those people. But it is also a time to share our regrets with Jesus and ask for forgiveness and guidance, and then to move on. And always, our conversations with Jesus require listening. How does one hear Jesus? How do we know we are heard? Well, how do we know when a partner or a friend hears us? We feel it. There is that instinctive sense of, yes, they get it. If I am worried about something, and I tell a trusted friend or relative, and I do have their full attention, I feel calmer, cared about. And that is the way it is with Jesus. Jesus does not fix things, but he does comfort us and gives us the wisdom and calmness and sense of humor to get through the difficulties. When Jesus hears us and speaks to us, there is that hard to define, but we know it when we feel it, peacefulness and trust that envelops us, that tangible sense of all will be well. When we listen and Jesus speaks, we are blessed with insight, perceptive instincts. The words and actions seem to just come naturally. We all can envision a wonderful summer afternoon spent on the porch, enjoying the sound and fragrance of a summer rain. What a perfect time to be with Jesus, to sit and talk over a cup of tea. In closing, I would like to mention Marianne Philbrick for a moment. Marianne was a gifted poet, and this week her husband Tom sent me some of her work. Here is an excerpt from one of her poems. Lord Jesus, child of light, first known to man in the splendor of a distant star, come to us in our dark dreamings. Lord Jesus, let us see the brightness of thy coming. Let us be led to the promise of thy countenance. Amen.